We're in the 25th chapter of Matthew. We're teaching the book of Matthew from Greek. We're Greek reading and research, but this class is just something special. I want you to understand this class is something special. Let's go back to Malachi first, before we do anything else, to the book of Malachi, the third chapter. This lesson from Matthew 25, 1 through 13 is about guests of the wedding. Not the bride, but guests of the wedding. The guest of the wedding of Jesus Christ. Behold, I'm going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple. The Lord, Jehovah. And the messenger of the covenant, we're talking about the new covenant and the fulfillment of the old covenant, in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will set as a smelter and a purifier of silver. And he will purify the sons of Levi, refine them like gold and silver, so that they may present to the Lord offerings in righteousness. This is covering a lot of period of time, the whole church age, which hasn't even come about yet now at this period of time. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and in former years. Now let's go to Revelation, the book of Revelation. Revelation, the 19th chapter. Now we could read the whole thing. 19, 1 through 16. But the immediate subject that we're talking about is the marriage of the Lamb and the guests at the wedding. The marriage of the Lamb and the guests at the wedding. Now, we know in the Old Testament, in Matthew and Malachi, the third chapter, verses 1 through 4, it talks about a messenger that would go before Jehovah. And that messenger is John the Baptist. Eleazar, Abraham's servant, was a type of John the Baptist. I want you to understand that Eleazar was the heir. Abraham named him to be the heir before Isaac or Ishmael were born. Now, Eleazar is going to go to the Haran, that is, and he's going to seek a bride for Isaac. And when he does that, all of his future fortune is going to go away, because now the bride that he's going to bring back for Isaac, she is going to be the co-possessor of all that Abraham has and all that Isaac has. Selflessly he went, and selflessly he brought her back. Now we have another person like this in the Bible, and that's John the Baptist. He was Jesus' cousin, Elizabeth's son, Zechariah. Now, John the Baptist's name should have been Zechariah, but he wasn't. We know they had a miraculous birth. We know that he was 6 months older than Jesus. John the Baptist was born in a special way. He leaped in his mother's womb with the indwelling and the unction of the Holy Spirit of God. When he came forth, he became a Nazarite, which is a volunteer priest. A Nazarite would do exactly what to live and do and eat and live exactly like the priest did when they were in service. The priests, when they were not in service, they could be with their wives. When the priests were not in service, they could eat grapes and they could eat raisins and they could drink wine. But when they were in service, they could not do any of this. John the Baptist was a volunteer priest, a Nazarite. He lived in the wilderness, that he ate honey and locusts, and he preached the word of God, the Old Testament. And he called for Israel to repent. And only a few of Israel repented. The majority of them did not. They're like the foolish virgins. John came, according to John. Let's go back to John, the third chapter now. John chapter 3. Before we go to Revelation, the 19th chapter. John chapter 3. After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he was spending time with them and baptizing. John was baptizing in Ainon near Salem, because there was much water there. And they were coming and were being baptized by him. And John had not yet been thrown in prison. And there arose, therefore, a discussion on part of John's disciples of the Jew about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, Master Teacher, he was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have borne witness. Behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him, Malachi, the third chapter, verses 1 through 4. And he who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. And so this joy of mine has been made full, it's been fulfilled. The Hebrew wedding was quite a story. I did, about 5 years ago, I read a book by James Nye, one of my teachers and fellow students at the California Missionary Baptist Institute. He was at that seminary until it closed its doors. He was a substitute teacher. And he wrote, I think, his bachelor's thesis on the Hebrew wedding. And he talks about it. And I read that whole book one time in class, which is very wonderful. If I had it today, I would read it. It's in California. I haven't moved it up here. We don't have a place to store all this yet. The Hebrew wedding. The father of a child and the father of another child would get together. The father of the child for his firstborn son. The father of that child. And the father of a bride, a lady, would get together. And they would agree on a price. Now, a man, his firstborn child is his most sacred possession in this world. Most sacred possession. Because that child will carry on his name. Now, the friend of the bridegroom is like the father in the Hebrew wedding. The father in the Hebrew wedding would go and they would make arrangements with the father of the bride, and they would pay a price, a dower, a price. And then the future husband, the groom, would send gifts to his bride. Now, in the New Testament time, we're going to talk about these first 13 verses here in Matthew 25th chapter. The gifts that Jesus would give to his bride is baptism and the Lord's Supper. As a token of his love for her, and as a token that he will be her husband. Now John selflessly exhibited humility as none other. He said, who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, like Eliezer of the Old Testament, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice, and so this joy of mine has been made full. John the Baptist called out every one of the apostles except for Paul. He baptized them. And he told them that he who follows me is greater than I am, whose shoelaces I am not worthy to tie. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. Now I have been for years looking for somebody to take my place in teaching God's Word. I have a lot of students. I've got a lot of wonderful students all over the world. I have one very special one that is my assistant pastor and pastor of New Hope Missionary Baptist Church, Brother Ray Hernandez. We ordained him nearly a year ago. He'd been fighting that for a long time. I told him, you need this, brother. And when I laid hands upon him, the Bible tells us don't lay hands upon any man suddenly. And what it's talking about, don't ordain people, just be doing it. Churches used to ordain deacons to make them faithful. No, you ordain people that are deacons that are faithful, not to make them faithful. Brother Ray is a great man of God. He has been for a long time. He came out of the barrio. He was a gangster. Came to church. I met him out there one night, almost at midnight, and I asked him, Brother Ray, you've been to church now. Are you saved? And he said, I don't know. I said, well, this is a great time to do it. And I asked the Lord to forgive you for rejecting him and his offering. And he did. Things didn't always go perfectly well, but he stood out. He stood out. The little gangster became a great man of God. The sheriff officers still followed him around for a while because they didn't believe he was. But he was. And he has been. We have sometimes hard lives before the Lord grabs hold of us and jerks us around and puts us in the harness. Brother Ray's been in the harness for a long time. When I laid hands upon him, I told him, I give unto you all the gifts that God has given to me. You must increase and I must decrease. Because I know I'm in my twilight years. And yet I still keep going. Once you make 70 years, and that's been a few years ago, once you make 70, maybe the Lord will give me 80, I don't know. But I will try to do the best I can with whatever I got left. But I chose him as my successor. And I pray that the Lord will use him because he is a great man. And I know he must increase and I must decrease. As John the Baptist looked upon Jesus, he had a calling, John did. Calling was to go out there and to call the bride to the wedding. Now, we're going to talk about that wedding here in the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation, the book, or the 19th chapter of Revelation, and the 25th chapter of Matthew 1 through 13. Let's go on and see what John says. He must increase, but I must decrease. He comes from above and is above all, and he is of the earth, is from heaven. He who is of the earth is of earth. He's talking about himself. And speaks of the earth, and he who comes down from heaven is above all. What he has seen and heard, and what he bears witness, and no man receives his witness, or very few did. For he who God has sent, when he began to get better, It speaks the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into His hands. The Father, an earthly Father, leaves His children with everything that He has attained in this world. And He leaves them to His hands. And He tries to pick Him out the greatest bride that He could give to Him. Wouldn't it be so wonderful if the children would let their parents pick their brides out for them and their husbands today? You ought to do that. They ought to do that. Fathers of the girls, find the best, most upstanding person that you can find and bring them home to dinner to meet your daughters. Fathers, keep your eye out for a woman that would be faithful. So many times us children look through lust in whom we pick as a mate and not future. Because the children that you bear will carry your name. And the children that you bear will carry off everything that you have in this world and carry on with it. Every mother and father wants the best for their children. And they want them to have more than they ever had themselves. And they try to give them a helping hand and a foundation to walk on in this world, and security and safety. That's what John the Baptist was talking about here. The Father loves the Son and has given all things to His hand. The Father sent John the Baptist to call the bride for His Son. Now, you may be part of that bride, but what it takes to be the bride is everything in your life. You have to give it all. There are many guests at the wedding, but there's only one bride, people. Now, as the bride becomes what we call co-heirs with the Son, just think about that. Who's going to be on the... Jesus is going to be on the throne. Who's going to be at His side? Your bride. How long is it going to happen? Forever. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. He who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Now let's go to Revelation, the 19th chapter. Before we get to Matthew, the 25th, let's see what's going to happen. What in the world is he talking about? Talking about a bunch of guests. The guests at the wedding. We're not talking about the bride. We're talking about guests. Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and His bride has made herself ready. Salvation is of God, not of man. But I'm going to tell you something, people. Brideship will cost you everything. Paul the Apostle said he espoused the church to the Lord as a chaste virgin. Being born again entails something. Being born again is a change of life. And new garments come on. The churches that we see out there today, many churches, many pastors, look like they're out there gangsters, tattoos all over them, and they look like they came right out of prison culture. Look just like the world. And they didn't get that way out there in the prison culture. Sometimes they started doing that stuff afterwards so they'll look like the rest of the people. We're not supposed to look like the rest of the people. We're supposed to look like Christians. We're supposed to look like those Amish and those Mennonites that are different. Those are old Anabaptists too. His bride has made herself ready, and that's in the middle voice. Being saved is totally by the grace of God. But I'm going to tell you something. Being saved is not all that you need. You need to learn to serve the Lord. Give your life to Him. Now there's going to be a whole lot of guests at the wedding, but there's only one bride. The bride has made herself ready. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about brideship. And it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And he said to me, right, and blessed are those who are invited. These are the ones that are invited. That's what we're talking about in Matthew, the 25th chapter. Those that are invited. The ones that are invited. Those 10 virgins are not the bride. They're the ones that were invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are true words of God, and I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said to me, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who holds the testimony of Jesus and worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now let's go to Matthew. Matthew, the 25th chapter. The rest of the story. The Hebrew wedding. The Hebrew wedding. Tote homeothesete he bas liaton uranon deca parthenois itenes labusi tas lampadas iauton exelthon ace hepon tason. To Nymphiu. Then it shall be likened to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the heavens, that is. It's going to be likened to 10 parthenois. That's virgins. These are virgins. These are not maidens here. In Matthew, or not Matthew, in Isaiah 7:14, there, it's the word there is Alma, not Bethulah. Because that is the dual prophecy, a double prophecy there. There was a woman that's going to have a child. Going to name him, going to call him Emmanuel. That's way back yonder. But there would be another one that would be a virgin. And this virgin would be the bride of the Lord. Here. And now, there would be another virgin, Mary, that would bring forth the Lord. And she was a chaste woman, full of grace, and graced by the very presence of God, and that God brought forth the Messiah, King of Israel, from her womb. 10 virgins, who having taken the lamps, lampidos, we got a word lamp right out of that Greek word, lampidos, for themselves. And they went out into the meeting place of the bridegroom. Now, this whole story is centered around the house of the bride, to which the bridegroom is going to come for the wedding festivities and procession. Now, among the Hebrew people, the wedding was the most important thing, the most important festival that you could possibly put on. Because it ensured your name. The basic reason for this parable is to reinforce the uncertainty of the time of the second coming Christ, the imminent return. The imminent return. The warning is to Israel for the Messianic Jews, for only they shall escape the great tribulation because they have believed and have become as the Gentiles in the church age. Genesis, the 9th chapter and verse number 25, talked about Japheth dwelling in Shem's tents. The Gentile church would carry on the gospel throughout the church age. And those Jews today, I remember Zola Levitt, they asked him one time, what do you think about your Jewish heritage? He said, well, I think a lot about my Jewish heritage. I'm a Jew and I'm of the chosen people of God, but I'm not going to go through that tribulation period with them. I don't want to have any part of the kingdom on earth. I want to be part of the bride. I want to be part of the saved. That's more important than being a Jew. The tribulation period shall bring Israel back to God, but most of them shall die. For they shall not see their Savior to save them from the Antichrist until they say, worthy of praise and glory is he that came in the name of the Lord. Now, verse number 2. Pente de ex auton eson mure kai pente phronimoi. And it says, moreover, out from among these 10 virgins, they're kept on being foolish ones. They're morons. They were morons. Spiritual morons. There are many people today that go to church, some in true churches, that never really come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They're going there because it's a good place to go. Nice people to meet, good dinners. And now, today, in many of the churches, you've got it looks like a coffee shop. Donuts and coffee and so on and so forth. One time a man saying, he said, does your church serve donuts and coffee? I'll go over there and camp tonight and I'll be there to get coffee and donuts tomorrow morning. He really meant that. He was driving a truck from state to state and he wanted a free breakfast. Mm-hmm. Church doesn't mean anything to some people, except a entertainment center. If you're going to be part of the bride, people, it's got to mean everything to you. They kept on being foolish morons, and 5 were phronimoi, and that means prudent, discerning. They had good horse sense. That's what comes from the word frame. Hagar, Murei, Levuse, Tas lampidas auton uk elabon meth yauton elem. For the ones foolish, the ones morons, having taken the lamps of them, they didn't take with them any oil. They didn't have any oil. They had a lamp. They had religion, but the Spirit of God was not in their lives. They had religion. That's all, just religion. Heide phronimoi elabon eleon entois Angios meton lampidon yaton. And the ones wise, they took oil. These are not the bride people. This is not talking about the bride. These are guests at the wedding. These virgins were young women that were associates of the bride. Now the wise ones, the ones that had horse sense, the prudent ones, they took oil in their vessels with them, with the lamps for themselves. Chronizontes de tu nophiu en os toxon passe kai ekathidon. But delaying, tarrying for a while at a time, the bridegroom, they nodded off and slumbered, all, and they kept on sleeping. They went to sleep and they kept on sleeping. All of them did. All 10 of them did. Now remember, this is not the bride. These are the friends of the bridegroom. These are associates of the bridegroom. And 5 of them were saved and 5 of them were lost. Meses de nictos krage genogen. Gegelman, that is. Udu ho nymphios. Exeste ace upon tason. And in the middle of the night, a cry it became. And behold, the bridegroom, he goes forth. You go forth to meet him. Go forth to encounter this word upon tason. You go forth to meet and to encounter. This is a pre-arranged meeting place. Number 7. Tote eger theson passe he parthenoi ekene kai ekos meson tas lampidas yelton. And they rose up. They were caused to raise up. All the virgins and those, and they set in order, and they trimmed the lamps of them for themselves. They trimmed their lamps. I don't have a lamp in here right now, a kerosene lamp, but they got a wick in them. And the wick gets frayed, and you trim it. You trim it so the light will be even and burn brighter. Verse number 8. Heide more tas phronimois. Epon tote or dote himen ek tu eloi. Himon hote he lampidas himon se ben nunte. But the ones foolish, the ones morons, said to the ones wise and prudent and mindful, had good sense, and they said, give us out of your oil, because our lamps, they are smoking. They're going out. They don't have any oil. Hapokritheson de he phronomoi luguse me pote uk me arkese himon kai himen porusaste malon prostus polontes kai agore sate hiatos. But now these wise ones, they answered the village idiots, nuts, morons, saying, lest, no, it made me enough for us. And you go out for yourself, rather, to the market where they sell things. And you buy and you bargain for yourselves oil. Now, this is the middle of the night. Now, they didn't have Walmarts there and Kmarts that were open all night at this time. They didn't do that. The markets were closed. It's too late. When the Lord comes, it's going to be too late. When he shouts up and you see the rapture and you see the resurrection of the dead, it's too late to be saved then. It's over. You get to stay behind. Apo erko manon de ahialton agoresai eltain he or ho nymphios kai he etoime exelthain or exelthon meth alton estus gamus kai ek leste he thira. And then going away to buy and to bargain for this, the bridegroom he came. And the ones ready, they went in with him into the wedding. And the door was shut. Histeron de erconte kai he loipe. Parthenoi luguse kurie anoxon himon himen. Later, they came. And the ones remaining virgins saying, Lord, Lord, you open to us. Ho de apokrites epen emen lego himen uk oida himas. But the one having answered, he said, truly I say to you, I don't know you. I know you not. Gregor rete un hote uk oedate tain himeron ude tain oron. You watch therefore, because not you knew the day nor the hour of the coming of that bridegroom. You did not know the day or the hour. Now let's go back and let's read this in the Amplified Bible, this great lesson of God. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to the meeting, meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish. Now, they met the bridegroom. They knew who Jesus was. And there was a prearranged meeting place. They had the story all down. They had the arrangements all there. Many people read the Word of God, but they do not read it as Jesus, the only way, the truth, and the life. But He's just a good example for us. Jesus must be your Savior, your only way into heaven. Five of them were foolish, thoughtless, without forethought, and five were wise, sensible, intelligent, and prudent. And when the foolish took their lamps, they did not take any extra oil with them. But the wise took a flask of oil along with them, also with their lamps. Now I'm reminded again of a message, getting used to the dark. These five virgins were getting used to the dark. We live in a world that is so tainted and stained with sin that we bring it into our churches. And we make our churches like restaurants and coffee shops. So that we can make our churches user-friendly. And we don't tell them that they need to repent and change their lives. And that God demands this of them. We just make it user-friendly. And anybody can come. And then you can say, well, there's my whiskey. There's my beer. And I still will go to the bar. And I will still do the things I did before in my life. And I will still do all the things that the lost people do. But I'm all right because the gift of salvation is free. So there's no repentance. And there's no change of life. But the wise took flask of oil along with them, also with their lamps. While the bridegroom lingered and was slow in coming, they all began nodding their heads and fell asleep. These are not the bride, these are the guests of the wedding. But at midnight there was a shout, behold the bridegroom, go out to meet him. And then all the virgins got up and put their lamps in order. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. They got used to the darkness. But the wise replied, there will not be enough for us and for you. Go instead to the dealers and buy for yourselves. But while they were gone away to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were prepared went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. These are not the bride. These are guests of the wedding. Blessed and holy is he that's called to the wedding feast of the Lamb. Not the bride. Many people believe that the bride, for at least 1,000 years, will be those very special people that are have special place with the Lord and have given all of their lives to Jesus. But they say that after 1,000 years that all those others will get educated and that they will be part of the bride in the end. No, that's not what the Bible says. The guest will not become the bride. The bride is always the bride. Now there are going to be people in the tribulation period that die for the Lord, and these are not Jews, but they're going to be, some of them are Jews, but all those saints in the tribulation period, they're going to be given a very special place because they're going to go through a very, very special torment. And they're going to be rulers over some cities and places and things. But the bride is ruler over all with her husband. The bride shall even judge angels. Later the other virgins came also and said, Lord, Lord, open the door to us. But the Lord replied, I solemnly declare to you, I do not know you. I'm not even acquainted with you. Maybe you were religious, but you didn't have the Spirit of God in your life. Being born again requires some changes. You're not the same person before you were saved that you are after you're saved. The Spirit of God dwells in you. There's oil in that lamp. And then you will desire to do God's things. I have seen children of God, and I've been one of the young children of God too. I was so absolutely hungry for God's word when I dedicated my life to God and asked the Lord to save my soul that I could not go to church enough. I wished I would get reel-to-reel tapes. I'd listen to them. I'd do everything. I'd listen to the radio. I just did everything I could do to learn the Word of God. I was hungry, mm-hmm. starving for the Word of God.
Yeah.
I saw Brother Ray that way. So I'm so hungry for the Word of God. I just love to see God's people grow. I love your notes out there from all over the world. I love your sermon comments. I want to know that I'm feeding you. And I'm putting more than me just out there. There are other great preachers that I'm putting out there with me. All that I can, of my teachers and the lessons and even my old messages from years ago. I'm trying to get them all out there to feed you. Trying to keep that website up. And if you could help, help. We need their help. We need your monetary help to keep the 501c3 going. We're going to lose it if we don't get enough donations. It's been a foundation, so to speak, because we have supported all these years. We need your help. Please send emails. Tell us what you think of the messages. I hope that they're touching your hearts. I hope they're making you a better Christian. I hope that they're giving you courage in life. I hope to see that change in your lives and that desire and that love for God's Word. I've had students that listen to me 40 hours a week, 50, 60, 70 hours a week. That's a lot. I would have done that had I had this facility. God did something special to me when I gave myself to Him. My back was crushed. I was very strong before. Worked out in the oil fields. Nobody could lift any more than I did, hardly. There's a few. Stan Anama could. I saw that man pick up a 55-gallon barrel of oil and pick it up like a 5-gallon bucket and put it up that high on a platform. I stood back and looked. Now, I'm strong. I was strong. But I wasn't that strong. I saw the power. But God knocked the wind out of my sails. But when He knocked the wind out of my sails where I could not work or do anything else, I was crippled. I had plenty of time to study. And all the books that I could get to read about the Bible, I read the Bible, I just ingested it from cover to cover. And everything about the Bible I could study. Every extension course from every seminary, whatever, I couldn't get enough. Hungry. I hope you're hungry like that for God's Word. That hunger for God's Word gives me the ability to preach to you today. Watch therefore, give strict attention, and be cautious and active. For you know not know whether the day nor the hour when the Son of Man shall come. Guest of the wedding. Are you a guest at the wedding? Do you want to be part of the bride? If you want to be part of the bride, it's going to cost you everything. And I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to give your life to God and all of your resources. Most important, are you born again? Have you asked the Lord into your life? Have you asked Him to forgive you your sins? Have you asked Him to save your soul? Do you believe that Jesus is God the Son? Do you believe that He came into the world to save sinners? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the Son of God will have a bride forever. But what He did for us, He came into this world and rubbed elbows with ilk as us. Died on the cross of Calvary, innocent, but rose again. He died for our sins and was raised for our justification. Have you believed in that? Have you asked Jesus to save your soul? And have you given your life to the Lord? Don't hold back. Just turn loose with your life. Our Father, we ask you to bless this message. I pray for all of my students out there. I pray for them that you touch their lives, that you spur them along to greater service and greater ideals. And I pray, Father, that they will see a need to give more of their lives to you. And those that may be lost out there, that they'll just cry and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. And save me for Jesus' sake and because of what Jesus did. I believe in him. Father, use this message as you will. Touch lives with it in hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. And Father, please forgive me where I fail you and of my sins as your coming.